We're disciplined stoners.
The gateway drug to mindfulness.
Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit.
And welcome back to another episode of Disciplined Stoners. I'm 11.
My name is Winnie.
And we are the gateway drug to mindfulness. And today we have a very special episode because what?
We have, yes, I will introduce our guest today. This is something that Evan and I have been wanting to do with each one of our parentals. So this guest that we have on this morning is a very... studious horseback rider for all of her life. She has done for most of your life.
No, when I was little and then I didn't ride for a very long time.
Some of your time has been all...
Some of it.
I would say that you're a very skilled horseback rider.
Yep.
Thank you.
And along with many other things, but you are my mom.
Yeah!
That's really loud.
Sorry. We had to change the setup.
For her ears. And I'm very happy to introduce our next guest, my beautiful mother, Marilyn Clark.
Hey, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for coming on the show, Mom.
You're welcome.
So I don't know if you had any questions prepared, but I certainly did.
I have several. First, I just want to light up my joints, even though I don't think you're lighting up today with us, but I want you guys to get your joints, your best stuff, and light up for Winnie's mom and my mom-in-law, and we're just going to blaze up and feel good, because that's what we do.
Yep. Get your drinks.
Get your edibles.
Vapes. What? I'm using the PAX 3 today.
I'm using the classic fire and joint. Ooh, with a cool glass tip. Which was neat.
Yeah. Glass tip is really where it's at.
Okay. So I'm going to give you the honor and the grace that we've been talking about this for a minute. We're very excited to have you here in this capacity. So I'm gonna let you give you the honor first. But first, is there any questions you want to ask us?
I did not prepare for
that. Okay, totally.
That's totally fine.
Lady, okay. Take it away.
Well, I wanted to know in your, can I say your age?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I wanted to know in your 64 and a half years, what is a life lesson that has meant a lot to you or one of your biggest life lessons that you've learned on the planet so far?
Ooh.
We're starting out strong with just
a general
big question.
Yeah, that's a big question. Well, so, babies, getting two babies, having two babies.
What did that teach you?
A lot.
Like what?
Like, a lot of caring, a lot of teaching, a lot of cleaning, a lot of love.
Yeah. Was it a love that you haven't felt before?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. What was it like moving from your country, your original country of the Netherlands? Because I moved with you. I'm also an immigrant, but you lived in Holland for a huge majority of your life, for 30 years before you moved to Canada. So what was it like coming to Canada and deciding to stay here?
I right away liked Canada. It was so big for me. Everything was big. I remember the washing machines were big and the refrigerators were huge.
So in Holland, everything's a little bit smaller?
Small.
That's cute!
Well, and they build up, right? Like a lot of the houses are thin and tall.
Yeah.
So you notice how much bigger things were. Meals? Did you notice, were meals bigger? Like when you go to America?
Meals, barbecues that we actually never did, but now it's changed. Like, now my brother has a barbecue, a hot tub we had never seen, which now they do have hot tubs as well. So that's in the 30 years that I'm here now, because it was 30 years June 4th. And
What have you seen Canada go through and change in the time that you've been here?
Not all that much. Like, yeah. We started in BC, and from there we went to Kelowna, which I really, really liked. The weather was a little bit warmer, but it is not anymore.
Kelowna is beautiful. I loved living in Kelowna.
The mountains. I love the mountains. They're gorgeous.
Holland doesn't have a whole lot of mountains.
None. And now we are in Alberta. Yeah, I like here in Toronto, I feel very... too many people.
There's a lot of people.
Well, you live on a farm.
Well, it's not a real farm. It's more like a ranch.
It has a stable.
It has a
barn. Ranch.
It has a ranch.
Oh, okay.
But it's like it has a lot of land, though.
Yeah. But that is and no people.
Oh, that's so cute.
Yeah.
So that's been your time in Canada. I'm so curious about what you were like in Holland before you came in this adventure. And yeah, what were you up to before you had kids?
Jeez, that is... actually, yeah, I worked a lot. I started working as an optician while I worked and went to school there in the Netherlands, in Rotterdam.
And the school system's different there, optician. Right?
Yeah.
Like the high school system, you can choose 3 or 4 or 2 years.
Well,
and
it
then
depends
you can go
on your grades and you can move on later.
Yeah, you can start your
but
career
that's
earlier.
Year two, right?
No.
Now everyone does 12 years of school here, but there's a grade 13 there, and you can leave in grade 11 or something.
But I was still in school when I was 15, and it's just...
I think most people are in school till they're 16.
Yeah.
18, yeah. You still have to follow, like, certain... Even if you work 3 days, you go to school 3 days.
That's not, I mean, the way that you've described it to me sounds like it sounds better than our school system in Canada.
You go to school for a certain thing, so say you want to be like, but I wanted to be an optician.
Yeah.
And so I went to school for being an optician, and I worked at an optical store.
Yeah.
Nice.
At the same time.
When you were a teenager.
Yes.
Yeah,
applied,
see, that's dope.
Applied
skills. It's specialized skills, too. You can just, like, instead of going to that, like, doing the 4 years of high school, the general... math, science, social studies, all of those things, you focused your, which I think would be great for a lot of people anyways who already know what they want to do. Why did you want to be an optician?
There were 2 jobs in the paper. It was the optician one and the travel agent. And the optician was the first one that came. And I had already said yes. And then after that, the travel agency called, and I could have worked there too. But that was a week later or so, but I was already working. So I had to say no to the travel.
Did you want to do the travel agent?
In a way, yeah, because I loved traveling. But the optician, you know, I'm also good at math, so...
Yeah. And you're unreal at sales. I always talk about how I am not great at sales. There's like a block that I have where I always will, like, I don't want people to ever feel uncomfortable about spending their money.
So Winnie doesn't make them spend their money.
Yeah,
and
so
she just gives them
the
thing.
Generally, I'll go directly to the least expensive thing first.
So sweet.
Which is not a good sales
but not good.
Tactic, obviously.
No, because you have to start kind of maybe in the middle. You want people to be, like, if that is what people want and they can afford it, eyes are very important. But if you cannot afford it, then... there is options. Right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
you
for
just
eyes
have to go with, yes, you have to just go with the budget. It's important to see, it's important to hear. It's, you only have 2 eyes. If something happens, even to one, there's a lot that you cannot do anymore.
Yeah. I mean, and I grew up, I mean, when we moved to Kelowna, you opened your own business,
mm-hmm.
and I hung out there a lot, mm-hmm. not like a crazy amount, but I hung out
after
there.
After school.
And on weekends and stuff. And,
how old were you?
That was grade 4 through 6.
Cute.
and I would see you sell, and you were so comfortable. I guess it's because you worked with glasses so much. You were so comfortable just putting people, you know, putting glasses on people's faces. Ugh. And, oh, this is why this looks good on you. Like, take a look at yourself. Like, and telling, like, you were really made people, even just, like, recently, the most recent time that I've seen you in Alberta. You're retired now, but last year you were still working, I think, or the year two years ago.
We actually, three of us quit now, so we're actually going to... that's good. They didn't forget about me.
Yeah, like, she's getting a retiree party.
Yeah.
Cute!
Yeah, I know. Because I guess, yeah, with COVID, it maybe didn't work. But what's your secret to making people feel comfortable in that capacity?
I don't know. What is your secret to make you feel comfortable on the camera? Because...
I need a lot of attention.
I am so aware of it, and I'm sweating.
You're so cute.
Oh, you can take another shower before you go, if you want.
It's so nice to have you here. I love when we hang out. I love when we do our food and our John Mayer hangs, and we have a nice little space.
We have, yeah.
Yeah.
That was fun. I had a great visit, guys. Thank you.
Absolutely.
And to answer that question, I think it's probably just practice. Same with you. Like, we did shot 10 episodes before and didn't release any.
Yeah, we
of
have
them.
10 episodes of complete unacceptable conversations.
Yeah, just we started releasing our episodes on our 11th episode. So it's not something that you're naturally just going to get if you don't ever do it.
No, it's just that I'm aware that I'm on camera and
stop looking at us. I love it. Okay, I got a couple questions.
Okay.
What was it like? I want to get some dirt on Winnie for our audience here, because we have some fans of Winnie who is as an actor, and like I feel like I can hear your voice encourage her to do acting. But what was that like when she was a kid, and she's obviously so expressive and adorable and cute, and like you see this, and you, how did that go? When did she come to you and say, "Mom, I want to be an actor," and you were like, "Awesome, go to AMDA"? Or did you get her in drama classes when she was early, like a kid, or how did this manifest? Let us know.
She did a lot of stuff in school. Every play, she was the head leader or the leader, as little as she was in Little Red Riding Hood. And then there was, I have videos of those that she was acting, actually.
Little Winnie expressing, and you're saying to her, "You are a little star." What are you saying to her? How are you coaching her along?
In her last grade, she came home and there was AMDA, and she told me that was what she really wanted to do. And I said, but you had to be accepted. So her grades were very good. She was throughout school a breeze.
I tried really hard.
Yeah, she talks about that a lot.
I'm not academic, so I tried really, really hard. And I got mediocre grades, actually. Like, average grades, I would say.
I didn't try at all, and I got average grades, too. And they hated that.
Yeah, well,
I barely showed up.
That we would not be friends in high school.
No, she would be like, "Fuck this guy. He doesn't show up to any classes, and he passes."
Yeah.
Sorry, though, as you were saying. You're saying...
Well, you've always encouraged me. Like, I feel like you're the reason I went to AMDA. Like, I was gonna go to optical school, you know, which would have been
so safe,
such hell for me. Like, it would have been. I'm not good at math at all, literally at all. I'm actually getting better at it with my job because I do inventory every week. But but even like when we had the premiere in Los Angeles for Almost Adults, like, you were the one that was like, "Do not miss this."
I wasn't gonna go.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have met Elise if it wasn't for that. She almost blocked my blessing. Thank you for having our back on that good idea that time.
You know what? I absolutely believe that what people want to do, and you have to work for it hard, then keep doing it.
Yeah.
Like, what can I say?
Yeah, because it is work, but it also... is like when you want to do it and when you're interested in doing it, it feels less like work than and more just like something that you're doing currently.
Like,
totes. So when Winnie was a little kid, before she started to get on stages and get in front of cameras and be accepted to big drama schools and colleges. Was there any activity that she would do, like, at home, like, maybe around family members that was, like, performing, or was there...
Oh, absolutely. Especially dance. Dance and singing.
Yeah.
And she would stand in front of the TV with...
I think someone just knocked on our door.
Go see who it is. We'll keep going.
We might be getting a filter change here.
All right.
Yeah, that's absolutely
we'll keep going.
True. There's a, they did that on the third floor.
Well, that's fine.
Hi.
Yeah, that, there you are.
You just want to keep going, or?
Can we do it right now?
I guess so.
Stop.
That will be lit. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Cute. Let's just keep going. We're having a convo. Appreciate you guys. It's good what they're doing. They're doing good work out here.
Yeah, they're coming to change our filter.
But you were just about to say that she would do some stuff for family members or perform in home and stuff. In what way? What would she do? That's so cute.
Do you remember we were in Spain and...
the white dress?
Yeah. And then and it was Chris and Shelley's birthday and they got a doll from Opa.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't really remember that too much. So we were in Spain or Holland?
Spain.
Spain, and my cousins have birthdays like 2 days apart from one another, and for some reason I like wasn't taking to my opa very much as a young child, which is so crazy because as like when I started to grow older, I loved him. He's the most favorite person in the world.
Opa's grandfather. In
opa,
Dutch.
Yeah. And they got they got birthday presents. They got these two dolls, and apparently I went up to my opa and said, "I'd really like a doll too, opa." And he left his granddaughter's birthday party to take me, his other granddaughter, to go immediately get a doll because I didn't really, like, I wasn't really open.
Very shy.
I was very shy with him. So as soon as he had that opportunity to do something with me and I wanted to do it, he was like, "Peace out, other grandchildren."
Oh, my God. When he knows how to use her exclusivity.
Big eyes.
So this is the type of performance of manipulation. This is acting in a way where you get what you want. Was there any... that's fucking hilarious. I love that story. But was there anything where you would purposely walk into a room and do a character or do a script? Or...
I did a Hunka Hunka Bunna Love. I did Elvis.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah, she did that.
I did that for everyone. If you had people over for dinner...
Winnie, do that.
Yeah. And you would tell her to do that? Or she would just come and do it?
She would, like, just... Everybody knew about it, so... Yeah.
My earliest memory was in Squamish, where you guys were having like a dinner party or something, and I like came out with, I either put the music on or I knew the music that you were listening to, because the music that you were listening to was the music I was listening to, so I knew those lyrics, and I remember like screaming the lyrics like in our living room, trying to get, our living room was right here, and then our kitchen dining area was over here, and I was like in the living room like trying to get people's attention, and I remember you came up to me and said, "That's very good, but we're just gonna like have some adult time right now," or something like that, and I was like, fuck, like if I'm not performing, no one's gonna like make me famous, because I always thought it was someone else that
but
made,
you also
made you
performed
famous.
On Ricky's wedding.
I did.
So hold
we're
on.
We're not singing with my guitar teacher.
I don't know.
This memory seems great
time
too.
Time of my life.
I thought that was for That was for the wedding. I thought that was for a retiree party.
No, that was the wedding.
Okay, great.
Let's just rewind that. Sorry. You thought performing was yelling lyrics in another room?
Yeah, I was just trying to get the attention of the people in the other room, because it was open concept, so they could see me in the living room while they were sitting at the dining table, like having their chat or
that is
or
hilarious.
Party
you,
or
but
whatever.
You didn't go up to them like, "Hey guys, I'm going to sing you a song."
No,
you
I
just
started
like other room
doing
like, da, da.
Yeah, I just started doing it for sure.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I guess I've always performed my whole life. Like, it's always something that I've been interested in. I never wanted to not do it. So I'm really glad that I'm doing it and I'm still pursuing it. Thanks for the encouragement.
You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you for the encouragement. I feel it in her story that you've played such a big, important role in her feeling good about doing that dream.
I just think that she loved to perform and to do stuff. And
yeah.
It felt natural for sure in mm-hmm. me.
So you have two kids. Winnie has a brother.
Yep.
Kose, who we love, and he's a dad of himself now. And so you raised an older boy and a younger girl. Yes?
Yes.
That's amazing to have like two kids and to navigate that. What was that like as a mom? To have, because Kose isn't a performer. He's a little more chill.
Yeah, we're opposites.
So you have this silly little girl, and you have this kind of mature, sweet little guy.
Very smart. Very different.
Tuned in.
Totally different.
Shout out, Kose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's got such a giving heart. Was there any? What were the moments where you were like, "Fuck! I wish I could kick these kids in their asses."
Yeah, there must have been some funny moments where you had these two kids, or they were just amazing all the time.
All really, and I'm not lying. Like they,
she got honestly, lucky, folks.
Yeah, that was really. Yeah, I'm proud of both of them, and really, they were very good kids.
Oh, that's so good.
And they looked after each other.
There were moments, for sure. We both had moments where, but who doesn't? But overall, I think that we were pretty good kids, yeah. Oh,
yeah, you guys are good people.
I was so mm-hmm. lucky.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, but I was always there. We were always doing stuff, so.
Did you guys have any little rituals that you did go together? Like, maybe you guys should have, like, KFC Tuesday or something cute. Because your dad, Jim, was away quite a bit, mm-hmm. right? Like, once you moved to Canada, Jim was, like, this whole new life cool thing, and he was doing his career, and he ended up figuring out doing something very special. But you guys had a lot of time together, the three of you, right?
Yeah, the first, in the beginning, he came home from work, and Winnie and Kose and I were locked up in the room, because I have seen the biggest bee. And I didn't
You were really scared of
bees. I was so scared. I was like hanging the laundry up, and there's this big, and so he came home, and I said, "Oh no, there's the big bee, and we haven't been outside."
Oh my!
And it was a bird.
It was a hummingbird.
Oh my god!
Hummingbird. But you'd never seen a hummingbird before.
I had never seen one before because we don't have them in the Netherlands. But that was my first day all alone with the two kids.
And you didn't let us go outside because you thought there was a giant bee.
You thought there was like historic giant insects outside in this new land, and it was just a bird.
And it was a hummingbird.
That's so cute.
It flutters really fast, and it comes very close to you.
And you can hear it.
Scared the pee out of me.
Yeah.
And they have like a long beak that if you observe it as backwards, it could look like a long stinger.
Well, exactly. And I thought,
that's
going to kill me.
So you took your kids into a room and you were like, attack of the killer bees.
They could not get outside until...
And then Papa Jim came home.
Yeah.
And then he saved the day.
Mm-hmm.
And told you it was a bird.
And they're so beautiful, too.
They are beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, silky green skin and stuff like that. So what was it? That's incredible that you've had actually such an amazing experience. Because Winnie, like we say, like she's Dutch. She's very, very, looks very Dutch. But like ultimately, you got to grow up in Canada.
Yeah.
Again, shout out Jim. And that's awesome that you're here. But like for you, you lived like an entire life in a nut. For me, I'm Canadian and I've really just spent time between here and America. You've lived in this whole other universe, and then you meet and love Jim, and then you move to this new land, Canada. that must have been such an adventure for you to
culture shock
and the language and everything. Yeah. Like, I love your accent, like, but it reminds me, wow, I have so much respect for you in that way. Like, to learn and live in a new place that's not your native tongue, like, that's quite the ride.
Was that always the plan, or were you guys planning on moving back to Holland?
We, if we wouldn't be able to make a living in Canada, we would have gone back to Holland.
Okay, so the plan was originally, like, to move.
I
and
didn't
stay.
Get my my immigration papers till probably 2 years after I was here, and by that time I didn't want to go back anymore.
Yeah.
So.
Okay, so you had to wait until you got your immigration papers to see if you could really give it a shot in terms of working.
Yeah.
And
I actually even went home, that I said, we're going to go home. We were on a vacation, and I thought, I'm going to stay here back in Holland, and then Jim was going to come here, and then I just was so confused.
I bet. Yeah.
And then eventually I went back.
Yeah.
How many years was that in? Like, you were 2 years?
After a year, and then I knew, and then, well, yeah, year and a half. And then I really knew that I wanted to stay in Canada. But it's like, because you think you move to a different country, and you think all your friends are missing you, but that's absolutely not the case. you miss them, but their lives
keep
goes
going
further.
On.
Yeah.
Life
and
goes
and
on.
So... You know, when I knocked on people's doors, my friends, and then they had already moved on. They were like, oh, good to see you. But they had other friends and, you know, and not all the time for you. Well, you felt like you had all the time for them.
Wow, yeah.
But that's not the case. Nobody of your friends will go sit on a chair and wait for you to come back.
Oh my God, that is such a good, reasonable, healthy philosophy. And it's,
yeah,
there's no victimhood in that, and you're just straight up like, it's okay, people have their lives. I feel like,
yeah,
sometimes an individual places their self-worth on what someone else decides to give them attention-wise. And it's so unhealthy, and
yeah,
it's a first-class ticket to getting depressed.
It's so weird. It's actually very weird that you think that.
I know. How sick is that?
Oh, no. It's kind of like not... it's just... see, that's how you can tell that you love yourself, because you love yourself. Somebody else loves you too. So.
That's so true. You're dropping gems. That's so true. You can tell that you love yourself, or that you're doing a good job.
You're such a snob that you think everybody's waiting for you.
Or that you're like, I'm going to give me this love, so why wouldn't someone else give me this love? That's amazing. That's such a beautiful philosophy. I feel we get hung up sometimes on the idea of other, like, somebody else's idea of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know? We, like, I feel like, for me, that's such a, sometimes a trigger. It's such, like, a low easy low-frequency place to go. Like, they don't like me. Like, it's just like, who cares?
Nobody.
Like, they don't have time for me. It's like, so what? So I should be doing something cool too. Like,
yeah,
good for them. Like, cruise on. Have a good day. Enjoy your friends.
That is how you learn to move on, really. And that is how you learn to move forward. Like,
yeah.
It's really our first experience of like a breakup, because friendships just don't last forever.
They're seasons.
I don't know very many people.
Some do, some don't.
I really don't know very many people who have had a lifelong friendship. Like, I really don't.
If they're not, like, married or
something.
Well,
that's not true, because I have friends that I know ever since, say, high school, and that I'm still friends with.
Yeah, you know them, but you don't talk to them,
like,
or see them all the time.
No, not all the time, but that's not French. That doesn't matter for friendship. Like, friendship, you don't have to be all
it
the
wants
time
to go to you.
It I know.
Yeah, it likes you.
It's like,
find the Dutch lady.
Anyway, it's I don't think friendship has to be.
Yeah, I think there's ideas about friendship that create constructs around what friendship is, and that's actually what ends up breaking the friendship apart. Because if you have expectations for your friend to sit and wait for you, for your friend to never like argue with you or challenge you or disagree with you, if you have these expectations that a friend should only be certain things or a friendship should provide certain things, I think you're going to get your heart broken, because everyone really needs to do what's best for them, and that just isn't what's best for everyone. Like, it's never going to be that.
I used to tell you too that there were rules in the house, and you would say, and I would say, Winnie, I'm not your friend. I'm your mom.
I know.
Which is totally a different
thing. Was confused because I thought you were my friend.
I know, but that's not... Then I wouldn't feed you and you know...
That's true. You were my caretaker. You kept me alive.
I'm your mom.
So cute.
You lived in me for 9 months.
I know.
Right there.
There's a crazy tether between mothers and... children.
You can feel it.
It's different with dads, I think, because we lived in there. That's wild.
Yeah,
that's a wild thing.
It's the first vibration you know when you come in, like from spirit to the third dimension, which is matter, like this space here where you have a name and I have a name. You're in the first frequency, vibration, energy, core source that you understood. You came from, your whole perspective of this dimension started here.
And while you were in my belly, actually, at one point, the doctor, you know, they had these things still that they put on your belly and listen in their ear. And you were so fast because you had so much room left from what Kozla had left. And she kicked around and he was like, ow.
Playing in there.
That was so funny.
I was like, get out of here. Get away from my mom's belly.
That's so cute. I think...
You were more playing, I think, because we played that at nighttime, too. I would, like, poke you somewhere, and you would... Ooh! Yeah. You were so fast.
I was having a good time in there.
A trip to feel something move in your belly.
I had a cup of coffee sitting on my belly, because your belly is pretty big, right?
Yeah, you would have been the cutest pregnant.
Oh, and she gave the cake, and the old coffee went...
I've always been a shit disturber.
Oh my god, that's so cute.
Shake things up.
For sure. I think also to touch back on that friend stuff, which I really like, we were talking about the friend stuff, the clarity on that, is I think sometimes the expectation for friends is a companion, where I think a friend is a type of a companion, but it's like that you're allowed to move. You're allowed to, like, fluctuate and have friends for different reasons at different times in different seasons of your life. And to really hold that authentic, to allow that companionship to be in its truest authentic form, it has to really serve you. And if you're not following it really serves you and your collaboration isn't making something bigger and brighter for both of you, it's like, just... Like I love you, but like go find something that like boosts you. We're talking about this. Your friends have to inspire you.
Yes, they absolutely have to give. Everybody has to give each other energy. If somebody drags you down,
gotta get rid of
let
them.
Let them go.
That's facts.
Yeah. Or just let them go. Yeah, I was like, gotta get rid of them.
Gotta put them in the ground.
I have a little bit of Italian in me.
You've
now.
You've been hanging out with Italians.
Yeah. Well, and even we said yesterday, we said something. About you are who your closest friends are, and then we decided more accurately that you are, thank you, made up of like the people that you surround yourself with, because your closest friends aren't always the people that you hang out with all the time.
No.
Yes, big facts.
And you can see people every day, and they will never be your friend.
Yeah.
Whoa. Let's talk about that. I think the name of this episode is Friends with Marilyn. Oh, I love that. So that's interesting. So some people can just be in your experience and serve a purpose, and you never truly connect.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you may even like this person.
Absolutely.
But you're not going to like take them home. Like, you know, mentally. Like, you're not going to be like...
You're not
going to... Draft them.
You're not going to invest.
Yeah, you don't have conversations with them as much, or But that doesn't mean that you don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
But as I say, not everybody will be your friend, and that's okay.
What is the word for just, like, is it an acquaintance when you, like, yes, know someone, and but you're not friends?
I love a good acquaintance.
Yeah, I think we have a lot of acquaintances.
I have many acquaintances all around the world.
Yeah.
What, and you do too.
What for you personally, and I also want our audience comments members to know, yeah, what makes a friend to you? What are your expectations of friendship, and what makes a friend to you? What's a good friend in your eyes?
What makes you want to draft someone into your mental home?
I don't know. It's kind of the same idea as when you meet someone and you fall in love, only with friendship. There's always something.
Yeah.
Like, there is an like, oh, I like that person.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a spark.
Or you say, oh, yeah, she's a very nice person.
Yeah.
Like, do you hear the difference?
Yes.
Totally.
Like, oh, I had so much fun. I really like that person.
I'm intrigued.
Always a very nice lady. But
I couldn't agree more. I'm thinking about, like, my friends.
There's always a
friends
different. Yeah. That is how you get into a friendship.
Yeah, there's just a vibe.
Yeah, the friends is so accurate for that. I would love to say, though, how you just communicated so much to us through acting. She did dialogue and acted and told us emotionally. No wonder you're such a good actor. I just wanted to point that out.
What did I do?
You went, I like that person. Through your acting, you conveyed the words that I would describe as intrigued. You were sparked. But you just showed us by acting, so that was amazing.
Yeah.
But back to what you were just saying on friends.
Well, no, I was just agreeing. That's a great definition of just, like, there's just something that you can't really explain. It's almost like a guttural intuitive feeling where you're like, I just want to spend more time with you.
Yeah.
I think that there's something here, and I've had that with all of my really good friends. You know, like,
But then the friends of some friends, you're like, oh, they're really nice people, but, like, I don't like need to, like, see them again.
Yeah. Isn't that an interesting thing? You would think that if you were friends with someone,
you'd think that you were friends with everyone they're friends with. Yeah,
would be your friends too, because you like. But that's not the case. Hardly ever. I don't think I've really ever.
I want it to be the case so much that I try.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I've always done this with your friends, and I feel blocked out and kept out when you don't invite me to some friend things, but we've been a lot more healthier lately, where Winnie has her life and I have my life, and we have our collaboration life, and it's great. Lots of which is here, by the way, so thanks for joining us. But yeah, it's so interesting. Did you ever notice that? How, like, you can be really good friends with someone, but then, like, their friend, you're just like, meh. Because, like, that friendship is serving something in that person that you don't necessarily resonate with.
Exactly, but that is why, you know, you have friends and you have acquaintances and you have people.
Sometimes it's just
sometimes
people.
It's just people.
And that's cool.
What?
I love that.
And you cannot take on the whole world as your friend.
Exactly. You have to be very selective. Yeah.
Do you have any life advice for our audience members? How have you made it this far so graciously?
Keep breathing.
Definitely.
Yeah.
It's like Wim Hof.
Live your life how you like it the most. It's your life. We only get one chance. Stay healthy.
What have you done when you've been in a challenging moment or a really hard time in your life? How do you get through it? Just one foot in front of the other?
Absolutely. Like, sure, there was rough times, like especially my mom and dad passing away. That was hard. But it gets easier as longer it is, and they're here. Mm-hmm. They will never be anywhere else anymore. But there's a time for us that comes like that too. It's you reason with yourself sometimes, and then, I mean, I'm very, very easy going.
Yeah.
I'm not at all anymore like how I was when I was 30 or 40 or 20.
You're
just chilling.
I most of the time, yeah, I'm just being angry doesn't
get feel that good in you.
It doesn't get that much done either, I find. I realize that, like, getting angry, it's so a personal indulgence. It's, like, not productive.
No, like, not at all.
Even if you're a fighter, like professional fighters, they're not in there mad at that person. They're like, respect. And then they do their craft.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, just getting angry is like kind of just exhaustive. And yeah, so I'd love to hear that wisdom from you and where you've come from and what you've done. That's so cool.
It's a learning process. It's that simple. Every day is maybe another step. I don't know. Or a little, just see it like that. Someone told me once that there was a bucket, and if you just learn something, you can put a tiny little piece in that bucket, so that bucket will take always to, you know, forever to get full. So that means that we can keep learning, and you know, and when your bucket maybe is full, that's when you're going. I don't know, but
I love that theory. Yeah, seems pretty good.
Seems great. I was actually thinking about this morning, because when we do go see Abraham Hicks again, I kind of wanted to ask them about this idea that you're never finished, that there's always more, but there's something comforting about completion in the human experience.
Yeah.
And so, like, how do we find that balance between there's always more, there's always more, there's always more, and feeling whole and complete at the same time?
I think that's how people grow old, is to always be wanting still to, you know, like Grandpa, he's like 93. He probably always has something to do.
Yeah, he keeps himself busy, for sure. No, that's important.
Yeah, and I think if you start to sit on the couch and you're sick and you're feeling sorry for yourself, then, yeah, it finishes even faster.
Yeah.
It's almost like you're communicating to the nature in you that, like, I'm ready to wrap up here.
You have to want to.
You have to want to. Bars! Yes, you can't like buy desire either, you know? Yeah. You have to want to do something. That's so beautiful.
You have to want to do everything. Energy, you have to want to have that energy. You just have to want to.
And give it. And like, and then, show up to be it.
And not be hard on yourself if you have a day where it's not there.
Yeah.
And stop punishing yourself.
Yeah.
True. Because you start beating yourself up and it's not necessary.
There's no progress in
Nobody remembers that in 2 years from now. It's just all fades away.
Yeah.
You know, if you make a mistake, get over it. It will go away eventually. It's not a big deal. No.
No, that's good. That's a good place to end, actually, because we have a train to catch, but... That was beautiful. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Wow. Yeah, that was so nice. That is exactly what I needed to hear, coming from the guy who just smacked himself in the face because the mics didn't work. That was perfect. Wow. Yeah. What an honor. I could really sit here and dive deeper on this friend thing and this life thing with you more.
Thank you for having me,
though. That's so good. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on.
I love you.
I love you.
So nice
to have
you.
I love you. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay. Do you want to end with a fun fact, or can I read something real quick?
No, we gotta go.
We gotta bounce right now?
Yeah.
Okay, let's get this one on the plane. Okay, love you guys. Thanks. Subscribe for more.
Thanks for watching. Subscribe and like and comment and do all those things.
Discipline stoners!
The gateway drug to mindfulness.
Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit. Gateway drug to mindfulness. Let's roll one up and take a hit.
Hey, Wim!
Oh,
wait.
Yes?
We got a new thing.
Oh, right! We need to tell you about our new thing.
Support the show now on Patreon and get a bunch of private perks.